The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. And guess what? I'm your host, John Age. Thanks for being with us again today on the program. Got a great guest coming up. Going to get into the silver market a bit, economy, and a lot more with Mr. Chris Marcus. But before we get into that, check out AnomicAge.com. Share the link, friends, family, loved ones, enemies, everybody in between. Always hit this up, but if you are so inclined, paypal.me/AnomicAge, patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. Because, well, we need the money. That's kind of the bottom line around here, folks. This whole thing doesn't run on air. It doesn't run on solar. It doesn't run on the hot air coming from Chairman Biden's mouth. It requires money. So if you like the program, if you like the guests, the information breakdown segments, any of the above, paypal.me/AnomicAge, patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. And if you missed it, all that and so much more at AnomicAge.com. iPhone app, Android app, all the guests, all the video, information breakdown segments, free newsletter, it's all there, AnomicAge.com. But enough of me yammering. Let's get into it with our guest on the other side. Stick around. I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Chris Marcus into the Anomic Age today. Chris is a silver analyst, founder of Arcadia Economics, and author of the book, The Big Silver Short. His background includes 11 years on Wall Street, an MBA.
I needed the money.
An MBA from Wharton, and 7 years trading equity options for Susquehanna International Group as a specialist on the New York Stock Exchange. Thanks so much, Chris, for being with us today.
Well, thank you, John. Like we talked about before we started, I really appreciate anyone that has the strength to speak up about things that aren't always easy to speak up about, and enjoyed the videos I've seen on your channel, and appreciate you having me on here today.
Oh, definitely. The pleasure is all mine. Well, there's so much to get into, man. I don't even know where you want to start. I thought I'd sort of start us out with a bird's eye view of the economic front, if you will. And then if we got any time, just sort of how the individual out there can sort of navigate the insanity that we're dealing with under communism, basically, now.
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty accurately. Maybe we could do another time we could discuss or try and figure out, is this fascism, communism, socialism? What would you actually call what's happening? Although, John, I will give the bird's eye view, but perhaps I think you were quite right, maybe focusing. There are a lot of positives coming out of this right now, and I think that will be my quest to continue researching what's going on, but focusing on the solutions out of this, which I'll say up front, they are happening. So as anybody is watching this, you know, there's some of the stuff seems shocking. Again, fortunately, you don't have to take my word for any of this. I just compare what this banker said with what this regulator said with what this data said. I also call them, tell them that I publicly accused them of fraud. And it's interesting that you can call Goldman Sachs or JP Morgan, say things like that. You can call the CFTC, send letters, send evidence, and nobody has anything to say. Short version, everything the U.S. government does is financed with printed money. It'll be interesting once the printing press is gone. Can you still go install democracy in foreign countries against their will. Of course, John, I'm sure I don't have to explain to you that the founding fathers were very adamantly against the idea of democracy. They believe the Benjamin Franklin quote, "I give you a republic if you can keep it." That shows the power of a good marketing campaign. I mean, heck, it even got me to vote for Obama the first time. I'm sorry. I hope people aren't like turning off the interview now. I reformed. I changed my ways. I didn't know I was a fool.
Hey, we've all made mistakes.
But John, I think that's it, where it's like, you know, people, whether they're Democrat or Republican or whatever they believe, I'm not trying to criticize that. I think a lot of this happens because no one's told the truth. You know, I mean, hey, maybe there are people who support Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not trying to criticize that, but it's like there's a lot of things that she doesn't mention, or I've never heard her explain how her husband Paul became an option trading legend. I thought Susquehanna, you know, for years, even after leaving there, it wasn't the easiest time in my life. Trading floor is not easy. You have a lot of people who yell a lot, and that wasn't quite my thing yet. I thought I was trained by a pretty good option shop, but it's nothing compared to Paul Pelosi. See, somehow he had the insight to time his Microsoft call option purchase right before they got a $22 billion contract with the military for virtual reality headsets, which actually sounds pretty cool. I'd love one of those. But it's like a lot of people don't know about these things. They don't know the history of the silver market. In fact, I'll show here's a little eye-opener. Paul Sarnoff, Silver Bulls, written in 1980. People don't hear about that stuff. They hear, oh, Hunt Brothers cornered the market, you know, a bunch of cowboys, oil, this and that. Go figure. Government doesn't always tell you the truth. I think we knew that. Bankers lie. I think we knew that, yet maybe that's whether it's socialism or communism, it's dependent upon getting the people to buy into it, getting the people to believe it. And that's why if there's any takeaway that I could offer from our talk or anything that I could say to someone, my God, you have so much more power than you know. And the whole thing is dependent upon leaving you in fear, keeping you powerless. That's what governments do. John, do you have any – I will offer the challenge to you. Can you cite anything that would disprove that that is what a government by definition is?
Yeah, man, I mean, I think you pretty much nailed it. I mean, just the definition of politics is pretty much the power of persuasion. And so much of what we see and experience in our own lives is just clever marketing. I mean, that's really all it is. It's getting somebody to believe that this new cereal is great and this new phone is great. And, yeah, put all your money in the 401k. That's going to be okay. They're not going to steal your retirement. It's going to be safe, just like your dad's and your grandparents. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, this sort of kind of this absentee landlord approach to the country that we're witnessing now. And it's kind of like you kind of started out saying, it's so far removed from that price of freedom is eternal vigilance, not eternal laziness, not eternal, it'll work out. You know, that's sort of the mentality that so many people are now.
And we've seen these banks get caught enough times. You know, I mean, it's housing bubble, dot-com bubble, crash in 87, long-term capital management. But keep in mind, here's an interesting one. Fed invented in 1913, and then, I just remember which year was that. FDR does the gold confiscation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of I hadn't even realized this, but I was watching a video recently where they mentioned that people had to sell their gold to the Fed, not just the Treasury. I'm not sure if that's entirely accurate, although the Fed, New York Fed, is one of the, I believe, after Fort Knox, is somewhere close on the list. So we had something that didn't even exist. And then a decade or two later, somehow you're going to jail or someone's going to put a gun to your head if you don't give these banks. Why'd they have to create the Fed in secrecy? Does anybody, why can't the Fed do an audit? John, if there's a chance you could fill out your tax form this year, even as an American, I'm sure you have you ever seen Aaron Russo's Fascism to Freedom to Fascism?
Yes, that's a beautiful documentary.
Where he talks to one of the chief representatives of the IRS asking to show the actual law that requires Americans to pay income tax. When the guy couldn't show it, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite part, but I'll go with when he mentioned the Supreme Court ruling that supported what Aaron Russo was saying, and the IRS chief says, well, we decide not to look at that.
So I mean, it keeps coming down to one law for them, another law for us. I mean, too big to fail. You know, if our business goes south, oh, well. But if you're too big to fail, that's totally different. And, you know, if you get caught laundering money and drugs into the country, well, we go to prison. But if you're Wells Fargo, you just pay a fine. It's no big deal.
Or you could just ask Noriega, who for a long time, while they needed him, was able to sell cocaine everywhere, anywhere he wanted.
Yeah.
And they didn't need him. Didn't work out so well. It's interesting, the Bush family, Panamanian invasion. I remember when people were talking about September 11th, which I don't take lightly because I was running from the dust cloud that day in lower Manhattan. Jeez. Right out of college. And it was a travesty. By all means. How is it any less of a travesty when the George Bush cult goes and kills the same number of people in the Panama invasion? It says, oh, well, we're concerned about drugs. They were so concerned about drugs. Why were they sending Oliver North around to sell drugs? And then, oh, yeah, we know Iran's the big terrorist. I don't remember Iran ever dropping a nuke, you know, and then they got a little ticked off when the CIA and the British Petroleum Company that overthrew Mohammad Mossadegh. Because before then, Iranians were often quite noted of saying they loved America, they loved freedom. And I think as I've traveled the world, that's what people, not governments, but people, why they want to come here, why people used to immigrate here. Because of what it stood for, and it's sad to me how that's been corrupted. And but maybe in the same way, now it's funny, I wonder, all right, this story about George Washington and Paul Revere. I mean, we can't even get a straight answer out of a government agency about the things that are happening today. Is that how it went down? Hey, I don't claim to know yet. Let's take it on face value and say, when people stand up and say, we don't need a mafia, maybe without the mafia to take 50% via tax. That's after the 99% that's taken via the inflation tax. Yet so much of it is based on fear. Oh, without the government breaking your leg, you won't have the crutch.
That's the truth.
There's the chance for everyone to opt out in different ways on a daily basis. And I think I'm seeing it happen now, certainly within the metals, but it's not just related to finance. And maybe that's what is required for people to stand up for what they feel is right. I don't ask anybody to stand up. Don't do anything for me, please. I beg of you. But do what feels right to you. And if you feel that there are things going on that are inappropriate, speak up. Hey, maybe you make a scene at the soccer game, and there's a right way to do it. But, you know, if you feel that you shouldn't be required to have your DNA altered for a COVID vaccine, then I applaud people not standing up what I feel is right. But if there's anything I could encourage people, there's never been a time where there's more people joining in. You don't have to do it alone anymore. And it is making a difference. And I applaud everyone who, rather than sitting, and I know I have my days where I'm ticked off about, oh, this guy did this, that guy did that, and then we're human. But as much as possible, if you've ever sat there and felt, well, the government's doing this, the banks are manipulating this, and we just have to sit there and eat it, that is not true. John, you're an example of that. And hey, it's going to be different for each person. Hey, if this makes sense, share it. if there's some guy doing a, I know there's George Gammon who's suing the Federal Reserve. If that resonates with you, then participate. Whatever way, I don't like telling anybody else what to do. I think that's a very poor strategy in general. But if you're seeing these things and you're not okay with them, and if you have children and you're wondering what world are we leaving behind, there's people that care, and you don't have to do it alone. And I hope that really comes across in the right way.
I think it does, because people are finally, I don't know if they're buying into it, but at least they're seeing it. They're seeing it affect them. I mean, I don't know your opinion on this, but I know it definitely connects to the markets as to what we're seeing with the shutdown of the pipeline. I mean, the Colonial Pipeline, that was a quote-unquote cyber attack. I even heard, oh, it's Russian cyber attack. And then we got Governor Whitmer shutting down another pipeline between Canada and the U.S. And, of course, Chairman Biden already shut down the Keystone Pipeline. So I don't know a lot about markets, but I know all this connects to the gas and oil and the food we all have to eat and everything else.
Aren't governments just supposed to protect their citizens against any unusual? Where is it that now it's like every politician, they're running their own hedge fund? Well, I like pipelines. I don't like pipelines. Well, this guy gave me a campaign contribution. Now I like pipelines again. That's not free market capitalism. And actually, I find it personally offensive the way capitalism gets smeared. Capitalism by nature, you don't have bank bailouts. It's not a free market. It's not capitalism. It is what it is. And that's what, at least in the silver market, I like to point out. I'm not asking anybody to do anything for me, but hey, here's what they're not telling me. All these guys in the banks, oh, well, the Silver Squeeze, Reddit Warriors, blah, blah, blah. And the LBMA issues a report that they were weeks away from running out of silver. CFTC Commissioner Rostin Benham says the futures market structure tamped down what could have been a much worse event, something like that. What's he concerned about? People bought silver. Isn't the price supposed to go up? And we had we had the greatest buying spree of silver in the history of silver trading. And by the time it was done, the price was actually lower. And you have a CFTC commissioner, in addition to comments about how the market structure tamped it down, also talking about how the features that were in place acted to control the price and volatility. And John, I'm not saying I'm the God's gift to finance like Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs, by all means. But I did go to Moody's, Mickey Mouse bond rating agency for 2 years, then went to Wharton, then was trading equity options. I've been unable to find anyone who can explain how if people are unfamiliar with the CFTC, that's like the SEC of commodities. I can't figure out how he did not imply that he was either condoned or participated in price fixing the silver market. And what is the worst situation? People buy, the price goes up. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Lumber, last I checked, it was up sixfold in the last year. Where's the concern there? Because commodities are skyrocketing across the board. And then you have silver, which, again, I know, you know, we're all nut jobs. We hunt for aliens on the weekend. I'm going to take my flying saucer home from the airport a little bit later. I get that, all that. That's fine. But I would assert, and unlike any of these bankers or politicians, I would put money behind this. I put my name and face behind it. When people have questions, I don't disappear, but I answer them. I mean, I would assert that this is getting out of control as we speak. So you can pretend, everyone likes silver, but okay. How come when I call J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs or iShares and ask them if they can explain how the price of silver fell 10% on arguably the greatest day of silver demand in history, they all of a sudden they don't have answers. I mean, these are the economic savants of the planet today. Then I tell them, well, I know you don't have answers. That's why I publicly accuse them of fraud. I ask if I can speak to the legal department. They don't know how to transfer me there. Everyone, like, forgets and misremembers and It's okay. But that's why it's, as many people are aware, a Ponzi scheme requires new money. And when people find out it's a Ponzi scheme, they stop putting money in and it collapses rather quickly. And I expect that's how this one will unfold. Whenever that is, hey, I don't know, maybe it'll be tomorrow, maybe it'll be a couple of years from now. Say, I'd bet closer to tomorrow than a couple of years from now. I've been wrong on that before, so I'll be transparent. But that's still how I bet it. And unfortunately, it's not a matter of people needing to speculate or bet. I'm a big silver fan. I'm not here to tell anybody to buy silver. It doesn't – I mean, everybody's situation is different. Don't go into debt to do anything. So I'm not – do what feels right to you, not what feels right to Goldman Sachs or to Joe Biden or all these people that say a lot of stuff, but then when you point out the flaws, they disappear. Don't do anything for me. But just don't be afraid to stand up to the paper tiger, who's the equivalent. John, you ever play poker at all? Online poker?
I have not, no.
Well, for anyone who is a poker fan, they have these online poker tournaments. You know, and there's like the $7, $15 ones. And everybody, there's like always like four or five people at the table. They're going all in on the first hand, bluffing. And that's what the banks are doing. But mathematically, even if you're a 99% favorite, but you go all in every time, John, you're mathematically guaranteeing yourself to lose every single penny you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the banks are doing. And when they get caught, they just double down, which is fine. It's not what I would do or advocate or recommend, but I just point out what is. And I have my opinions, sure, but I just look at their own data and what they say and what they refuse to answer. And I think it leaves a very clear picture for people. And I don't think it's an accident that money's coming out of SLV, going into PSLV. People are buying silver, Wall Street silver that didn't exist a couple months ago. I don't know, 70,000 people or whatever it is now. These things aren't accidents. For anyone who got clobbered by the subprime bubble, or somebody lost money with Bernie Madoff and said, how come no one said anything before? Well, there were people saying things. Just depends on who you're listening to, perhaps. And I would suggest go listen to the counter arguments. Here are people who say the opposite of what I say. You can find Goldman Sachs and just follow what makes sense to you.
I think it's kind of funny that they're just sort of playing the naivety of the people. I think they're just sort of – they're propping this bubble up as long as they can and just hoping nobody looks behind the curtain and goes, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
You're just you're a midget and you're standing on five or six boxes here. You're nothing. And I think here and there they've gotten a little scared. I mean, this came up, I guess, a few months ago, and it just was a blip on the radar and disappeared. But when people started buying the GameStop – options and everybody was getting all, why are people buying this stock? They can't do that. They're just plebs. What are they doing? And I think they shut it down. They weren't letting people continue to support this company. Like, everybody should have seen the guy behind the curtain right then and said, hey, it's not a free market if they're not letting you buy into this company that's on the stock exchange. This is bull.
They're exposing themselves. That's the best part. When you get caught running a Ponzi scheme and people finally realize it, there's not much you can say. That's why, I've been critical of the CFTC and this commissioner who made these comments. Hey, I can't explain them. They're actually, I can't explain them, not in a way that would be a good light for the CFTC. Talks about transparency. Why are there, all right, your constituents, hundreds, if not thousands, are asking for explanation because it seems like the regulator got caught price fixing.
Again.
But I didn't just accuse someone. I gave him a chance to answer. I sent a letter. But I did also send it to the other people in the silver market that I speak with, which fortunately at this point is a large list, the silver companies. So if they wonder why they've lost billions of dollars due to a suppressed price. And I can send this and give you a link if anyone of your audience would like to read the evidence that the CFTC continues to ignore. They said they were opening a silver investigation on February 1st, coincidentally a day before the greatest crime in the history of the silver market, which was Silver Tuesday on February 2nd. Now, I wrote up all the evidence. I had plenty to do, and I don't have a $304 million budget, but I was reporting on it as it happened. I even submitted the evidence to the CFTC on February 12th was the first round I submitted. Yet all I hear is how they can't do anything because of, ongoing investigation. Yet the commissioner goes to the Boca Raton Futures Conference that none of his constituents are at and says they tamp down the price and they control the price and the volatility. Excuse me? So here's a question I have. If this price tamping down thing was enough to leave the price of silver lower than before the record buying spree, seems like it has some impact. So what are the parameters? I mean, like, if a lot of people buy silver this week, are they going to tamp it down again? Has it been tamped down before? Is there somewhere that I was busy on a trading floor, and these guys are lawyers, so maybe I don't understand, but if I looked at the CFTC's mission statement, I don't see anything about price controlling or deciding when the price is too high. And by the way, if any of your audience members are crypto fans, you can check out Christopher Giancarlo, former CFTC chairman. This piece of work, he actually talked about how to pop the Bitcoin bubble back in 2017. This guy had the audacity to say that it was the first bubble since subprime, which means I guess he wasn't watching his boss's Trump campaign speech where he talked about big, fat, ugly bubble. He said, we used the advent of a CME futures contract to pop the Bitcoin bubble. We took action. Names, all the people who were involved, Mnuchin, Gary Cohn, there's a lot of Goldman Sachs there. Were their clients and their executives warned before the bubble was going to be popped? Because certainly that would be valuable information. And how did they know that a CME futures could pop the price of an asset by just adding the futures? What's the study that Mr. Giancarlo looked at? What is the evidence? Because I can only think that maybe they've studied what's happened in gold and silver, where the price has been capped, price has been controlled, tamped down. I haven't been able to get an answer from Mr. Giancarlo. I'm frankly stunned. Hey, maybe I don't understand markets. I've only been doing 20 years. I mean, my track record isn't as good as I thought.
Sounds to me like they had the whole thing actuaried out in the much same way the insurance companies actuary out when a flood's going to come or when a hurricane's going to hit or whatever. It sounds like they had the whole thing, dare I say, kind of rigged.
Well, it's funny because if you know and go and look at what they don't mention on the press releases, I have these weird hobbies. I actually listen through these five-hour roundtables that these guys talk in because they leave a lot of evidence. And in minute 15, again, don't have to take my word for it. If you go to YouTube, just type in CFTC February 23rd, minute 14 or 15. Where Ross Benham of the CFTC, current acting commissioner, starts the investigation February 1st. He's talking about this. This was before his tamp down comments. And he's saying, really want to thank all the people on this committee. And mentions a woman named Alicia Crichton, futures market this. You know, all the credentials she has, including prime brokerage of Goldman Sachs. So wait a second.
There's that name again.
Goldman Sachs commit felonies on TV February 2nd and February 4th. Probably busy on February 3rd because that's when they were changing the language of the prospectuses of the silver trust. Talk about a misplaced word there. He also said you can't have a short squeeze because of position limits. Didn't mention that Goldman routinely violates the position limits. They don't tell you these things. It doesn't mean they aren't there. And that's what I go and research and do, and again, the best part, you don't have to believe me. I could be completely nuts. Just watch the guy's statement. Ask him to explain it. But so far, I've called all these groups and said, hey, I go on my show, and this is what I say, because it looks bad. Can you explain it? I went to Washington looking. I can't even find someone who wants to see the evidence. Where is Elizabeth Warren? Call me. Joe, call me. I got it. I wrote it up. I'm sending it to some of your buddies in Washington now. You really want to crack down on corruption on Wall Street? I know where it is. I'm not asking for money. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, you got to pay me or no. I'm doing this because when I walk around and see a four-year-old kid wearing a visor because he's not old enough to read what Anthony Fauci said in the New England Journal of Medicine, which was quite contradictory to what he announced the day before. He said, well, we got to lock down the whole country. So that's why I just point out some facts so that anybody wants to know what is not being told to them. Anybody who's tired of getting clobbered by these scams or being lied to by this group or that group, I have some questions that nobody, none of them can answer.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of very simplistic lying by omission. They're just not going to tell the slaves what they're doing. They're just going to pat them on the head and say, don't you worry about it. We got all this big number stuff figured out. I can't remember if it was the governor of – I think it was New Jersey that basically was saying, don't you worry about it. We got the market thing handled. You don't need to know how this works, in essence. It was a couple of years back. But, you know, and that's kind of the mentality, I think, that they have to the plebs. Don't worry about it. You just keep keeping the machines in order and being a wage slave. We'll figure this out for you. Don't worry.
That is the way it's designed. I mean, I don't know, spent the first 40 years of my life wishing it was different. Now, fortunately, I'm maturing a little bit, accepting what is. And perhaps if there's anything I could leave your audience with today is that there are solutions. John, you're one of the solutions. So don't do anything for me. Support John's show.
Oh, thank you. You too.
People looking for solutions in silver. I see the things that are happening. I get the emails. There's someone who's taken the lead on designing a physical silver index. So you don't have to go with this fraudulent thing. Hey, do you want to look at it? Knock yourself out. You want to know what actual silver costs? That's being designed. For people who want to pressure the COMEX, there are things being looked into there. For the people who are wondering how come the silver companies haven't done this or that, it's being discussed. I can promise you of that. And again, I would just say that if there's ever been a time, I understand, can feel overwhelming. I have days where I wake up and it, you know, is darn frustrating. Yet, I think there's something truly special about the way when honest people get together and say, I'm done being a victim. I'm not going to resort to what other people do. Well, I mean, you can just take your money out of it. Take your money out of the Ponzi scheme and watch how quickly it collapses. So you don't have to feel powerless anymore. There's your takeaway. You can, if anybody needs, in silver, if you need someone to go first, I'll do it. If anybody needs help in silver, you can find me there. There's people doing it in all areas. The guys that speak up about the big pharma and Monsanto or everything. Rather than waiting for it to go bad and say, how come nobody warned? There's people out there putting their ass on the line right now, and I encourage you to support them. And that's the best I've been able to figure out to leave something better behind for the children that I see when I walk around and think deserve something more than what's currently happening.
Amen to that. I mean, I'm not giving anyone advice, but that's what I did years ago, too. I took my money out of that mess. And I went in there and was closing the stuff out, and the guy was like, are you sure? I mean, this sounds kind of crazy. And I was like, I'm sure. I'm going to go with precious metals that I can tangibly hold and put under the mattress. I'm not going to let you people just lose it. So.
And as that happens, it goes slowly until it goes quickly. That's my study of markets, and I expect this one will be the same.
We definitely have to do this again, Chris. We got to talk about so much more. But before you go, please tell everybody where they can find your show, where they can purchase your book, and just broadly follow what you're doing, because we need more people like you out there as well.
John, I sure appreciate you having me on here. If people want more information, can find me at ArcadiaEconomics.com. The heart of what we do is on the YouTube channel, Arcadia Economics. If anyone is wondering, it feels a little bit much, how do you put it all in context? I did write that book you mentioned called The Big Silver Short. Actually, I didn't write it. It was done interview-style format, which I like to think in hindsight was because not that I don't think I could – hopefully I could write a good book on my own yet, especially silver. I sought out the smartest – David Morgan, Andrew McGuire, all these other guys that have been – people who were around for the Hunt brothers when I was 2 years old, because my only goal, this is what I learned on the trading floor. You know, you can have what you want, what you think is fair, but you make money when you're right about what happens. And that was the only thing I've ever had any interest in doing in silver. So anyway, if people need help understanding that or why I think it's important, you can find me there. And again, John, I just appreciate what you stand for and what you do. And thank you again for having me on here today. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you so much again, Chris. The pleasure is definitely all mine. We got to do this again. There's so much more to get into.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. And hopefully I'll get you on my channel soon. I know you have a lot of great insight to share. And again, I just say for anyone at home, please don't feel powerless. Not because of what I say, but just realize there are other people by the day that are seeing what's happening. And it's a lot more of us than them. And I hope if nothing else, people feel a little bit like there are good things happening because they are there. Not always easy to see, but hopefully this is helpful in seeing it a little better now.
Absolutely. Well, folks, if you missed all that, fear not. You can go to AnomicAge.com. You'll see the video, the audio from today's show, and all the past guests as well. As I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and do your part and make that difference. Be safe out there. I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm going to go to the next one.